everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I am your host, Rochelle Denae Poth. And I'm going to tell you, I am super excited that you are joining in and listening today. If you've been a listener, thank you. If you're listening for the first time, please keep listening and subscribe to my podcast because it's been probably 4 or 5 years almost now that I've had it. And if you've listened, you know that most times I am having a conversation with myself. And while that may be entertaining, I do really enjoy talking to people and having guests. And today I am fortunate to have one of my favorite people as my guest because, well, you'll figure out by the end of this episode why this guest is one of my favorites. But I would like to welcome to my podcast, Dr. Desiree Alexander.
Hello, everyone.
I'm so excited
to be here. Every time I get to talk to you or hug you or go to dinner, I'm excited. So I'm very, very excited.
Yes. And I am as well. And I was thinking about, like, we've known each other a long time. And I remember, and I can't recall if it was the first time that we met in person, but I know that it was at the conference in Miami. And I remember sitting outside waiting for dinner, but we had known each other. We had connected through EduMatch and different communities, which, you know, the relationships are so important, but, you know, you get to know people a lot just by engaging, even if you're not like having a conversation via a webinar or using Voxer or something, but even on Twitter or just participating in one of your webinars, which we will talk about because if people don't know about your webinars, I love doing a webinar presentation via your services. But the thing I love the most about it is your introduction of it. I mean, your positivity and everything that you provide. And like, I honestly don't ever want you to stop talking at the beginning because I just want to listen to you. And so I know the people listening today are going to start this new year, 2024, which is unbelievable that here we are, another year, with a sense of positivity. And that's, I wanted to have you as a guest because you talk about so many things, you do so much. But before we dive into some of our hot topics for today, that's going to be like the word. I tossed out the pain points that was the end of the word phrases for last year. Now I'm on the hot topics or I don't know. New ideas, but
awesome.
Can you share with our listeners, you know, how did you get to where you are today? Like, what has your journey been? Because you know me, I love stories. So what is your story?
Yes. Well, if anyone has heard me, you know, speak before about myself, they're going to be like, oh, here she goes. But I always wanted to be a teacher. I really didn't want to be anything else. It just always thrilled me. And, you know, went to college, did my thing, and then started teaching sixth grade English. Was actually hired for social studies, but that's a whole different story. So sixth grade English, I was certified in English. Sixth grade English, eighth grade English, became a high school English, then became middle school librarian, high school librarian, and then got into leadership. I was the district, I can't remember what I did, instructional technology supervisor. And then created my company, Educate Alexander. I was really working with a lot of different companies, kind of doing PD for them, kind of sporadically, not like a full-time thing, but just really sporadically. But I was also working with other companies doing like leadership building and leadership training and things like that. And so I would show up to places and they'll say, you're with these people too? You're here too? I'm like, yeah. And somebody actually said, like, I need a place to know kind of where you are, probably to avoid me, but you know, I need a place to know where you are. And I was like, that's smart. And that is what kind of led me on the journey to branding myself first and then creating a company later. And that's kind of where I am today. I'm very type A. And pretty much obsessive about helping educators. It really is why I do what I do, because I do a lot of stuff for free. I do a lot of stuff, you know. So it really is, you know, always gotta do as much as I can for free, right? But yeah, it's just one of those things where my entire professional outlook is helping educators. And sometimes it's to my detriment personally, because I, you know, don't sleep and wake up at different hours to help people. But it's honestly what I love to do. So that is my very, very quick journey of how I got to where I am right now.
Yeah. And you have really, I mean, you've been involved with all varying levels of education, different roles in education, and then transitioning from like this classroom to a different classroom, different content areas, different grade levels, different roles. And now you're kind of like, in a way, still doing all of that, but on the opposite side. And it's mind-blowing to me, because you are so giving with what you do, with the webinars you put on. You have great newsletters, and you're supporting educators who have great ideas to share and put on these. And it's amazing. Like, it's so funny. I always laugh. Like, at a conference that happens on a weekend, you know, or where like it's a day off, or teachers like, hey, how about that weekend off? Oh, wait, it's Saturday. We're here learning, you know, but there's something about it, because people really love being in that space. And mm-hmm. like I said, like, you just exude such positivity and you provide so much for educators. And I always look to see like what webinars are coming up. Of course, I like doing the webinars too, because it's fun. You have a great group, and it is inspiring. But at the same time, like, you give so much of yourself that it does lead to burnout and it does lead to exhaustion. And I remember having, you know, on our, Mel and I had on the show, we had Weston and Molly Kieschnick, and they were talking about, like, you know, don't set yourself on fire to keep everybody else warm. Right. And it's true, but it's really hard to not do that, I think, when you are in education, because like our inclination is to help others no matter what. Like, that's just how it is. And the power of saying no. I mean, I look at some of your posts sometimes, and different, you offer so many different great resources and webinars and trainings and things that you do, and you make it so easy for educators to get started. And I just think, how do you do all of this? Because you are, like, you're traveling and you're presenting and you're doing the consulting and you're running your company. So, you know, the ever elusive balance and so forth. I know we're going to talk about some self-care and some different things like that too, but I'm so interested in your work, because like you, I do consulting. I teach full time and you know my story. We're doing all the different things. People always say, like, when do you sleep? You probably get that too. Like, do you ever?
And I don't sleep often.
I know.
So that's one of the funny and not funny things. And one of the things is, a lot of people think that I do Educate Alexander full time, and I do, but I actually work full time for an educational nonprofit in the state of Louisiana. So I always, you know, kind of joke that I have two full time jobs that I, you know, really care. I wish I didn't care about one of them, but
I know.
I really do care about both of them. So yes, it's a lot. And I think where, not only us being a service profession, right, and being educators, do we want to always help, again, sometimes to our detriment. But I think part of it too is, after you've been in that position, you want to help even more, because you're like, I remember being there. I remember asking that person a question and never getting answered. I remember, you know, showing up to an event and feeling undervalued or feeling like I was stupid. And you don't want, you know, the current educators to feel that way. So you put more into it because you have that experience.
Yeah. And that's why I, again, there are so many things that I say, like, I wish I would have known this, you know, like the things I wish I knew that I wrote, like, and it wasn't just for me. It's just things I wish that I knew earlier.
I was in that book.
I know. I was dropping a little hint there, but, and, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, and I say, you know, just for, even today, I said, like, I wish I knew that 15, 10, whatever amount of years ago. But then again, like, then I think, well, maybe it's just a lesson that somebody has to learn, or it's an experience they have to go through. Like, I toggle back and forth between that, because even with students in my classroom, I mean, learning a language is difficult, and they expect that you're the expert. I'm like, this is the third language I've learned in my life. I don't know all of the words. I make mistakes in English all of the time. But I have had conversations with some educators who were just, you know, student interns, or they had another career and then they shifted to education and felt like, you know, I'm too different. I'm not cut out for this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not there. They had all of these different feelings, and I'm like trying to get to the root of it. Like, well, why? Well, I don't feel like I connect with the kids, or I'm struggling with, you know, classroom behavior. And I'm like, do you have any idea how much I went through? Like, but I kept it to myself. I didn't talk to anybody about it, because there was that fear of looking like you were a failure, or, you know, and it was showing vulnerability. But then, now that I know better, right, I'm like, vulnerability is not a sign of weakness. Like, it's admitting that you need help. And in education, I think that's one thing that I've noticed more And to whatever we attribute it to, I mean, in-person events are awesome, but having access for technology where you can have a conversation and maybe you don't necessarily, I think being able to have a conversation online at first and forming that kind of relationship is more comforting for some people than like saying to somebody's face, but it's a way to kind of bridge that connection and get the help. But I'm right there with you. Like if I, that's why I do what I do. Also, like I want to help somebody save the time. So I'll read all the articles, you know, I'll tell you all about in 5 bullet points. I'll be your ChatGPT for whatever it is to make it easier. But at some point we do have to stop and give ourselves a break. So I don't know how, I mean, I know what my hacks are, but you, because you know, I, like you, have a couple of different full-time jobs, but it's, there's a workflow to it. But for you, how do you balance your time? Like, do you have certain, you know, like on my phone, I set a reminder, like nap or do something, go walk.
In terms of that, absolutely.
But what about you? What are your, you know, tips that you can share for people who are like, you know what, new year, this is what I'm going to do.
New year, new me.
New me. Yeah, I know. I was going to not say that. Somebody said the other day, don't say that. Everybody's saying,
I wish I had like 5 cents. Every time somebody said that, I would be rich.
I know.
I think it's different things. One of the things I stopped doing is boxing myself in. And what I mean by that is, you know, even like, especially like during COVID, like we learned a lot about like, you got to stop. And like some people just stopped and then that was like their whole life. But for a lot of trainers, it became ridiculous because everyone needed training. So, I mean, I was up sometimes, like no joke, sometimes 20 hours because I would, you know, wake up and do a training in Indonesia, like virtually, of course. And then and I was like at 2 o'clock in the morning and then I had an 8 o'clock and then I had a, so I mean, sometimes it was just crazy, the schedule. So I started doing little things, like you said, like giving myself a stopping point, giving myself, you know, setting my alarm and saying, just like you have that appointment, you have an appointment with your bed, like your bed is waiting on you and it's getting impatient, right? So like little stuff like that. But then I started noticing that started causing me stress because if I wasn't done exactly at 8 and I just wanted to spend 15 more minutes again, you know, I was like, no, get up and go. So I started giving myself more grace and not putting myself in a box. So because like one of my favorite topics is self-care, and I always tell people self-care does not mean you follow my plan. That's why it's called self-care. Like you got to find out what works for you. And what I started noticing is what worked for me on Monday didn't work for me on Tuesday. So I was like, you know what? Why am I putting myself in this box? And I know I'm typing. I do like my boxes. But, you know, what's going to work for you today? What's going to work for you? Look at your schedule. What's going to work for you? When is it a good time for you to stop to eat? When is it a good time for you to take a break and walk around? When is it a good time? Maybe you don't want to walk around today. Maybe you want to go watch some, you know, trash TV. So it's just like not putting yourself in this box where that starts, your self-care starts to stress you out because you're trying to keep up with that. And that just becomes another routine, which is not what it's supposed to become. It's supposed to be that thing that lets you breathe. So that's what I started noticing. Now, and what I'm starting to try to get better with this, you know, if I have a day and I want to take off and just lay down all day and be lazy and eat Cheetos and do whatever the heck I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. Where tomorrow I may have a full work day and I may need to schedule my breaks. Both of them are okay. Both of them, live your life. Live your life. Do self-care the way you want to do self-care. And so that's one of the ways I get through doing so much. I may have a day where I'm working till 3 a.m. and, you know, the next day I may take off and not do anything, you know, tell people I'm not answering emails today. And both of those are okay.
Yeah. Just make sure you have the Cheetos nearby, right? If you're taking that day off.
You don't want to DoorDash some Cheetos. It's expensive. So make sure you have them ready.
I will say I had never heard of DoorDash until I met you in Miami. And that was one of the highlights of the first meeting. But you're right. Like you can't, it's not going to work for everybody. But it was funny because last week we had, I think it was last week, professional development day. We did. And it was a virtual, we had a speaker at the end who talked about, you know, crossing off like your due or, you know, clearing your list basically. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. there were a lot of things that he said that I have already been doing. And it was funny because at the end, he had a picture and it looked very similar because I use my Gmail and I have my calendar and I have things color coded. And every day at a certain point, like on different days, it's not always the same time. It says like nap, walk, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes I ignore it, or sometimes I'll go in and I'll change the time on it because like I have a meeting that I put in or whatever, but I have those, they're like my non-negotiables. But when you put it on the screen and people were like, how do you do that? And I was ready to like hold mine up and be like, this is what I do. And I keep a paper copy too. And there is that sense of like gratification when you cross something off, or where you do something that wasn't on it and then you write it and then you cross that something off. I can't say that I've ever really just taken the day to do nothing because I, with all the things that are going on, but I did spend 2 days just kind of sitting around working on my dissertation and doing some writing, but it was nice and not going anywhere. But then it does, if you do it for too long, I think it makes it difficult to get back to what like you're normally doing.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I have 300 emails right now, just in my personal Educator Alexandra email. And in my, you know, nonprofit email, I'll probably have like 100. The thing is, the work is going to be there. And that's, I had to learn that the hard way. Like if it's something that is detrimental, if it's something that you have to answer, if it's a, then get your butt up and do it. Like get your butt up, answer. If it's a deadline, if it's a meeting, get your butt up and do it. But then beyond that, rest. Like it's, the work is going to be there tomorrow. And guess what? If you get it all done today, you're going to have more tomorrow.
Exactly.
So it's one of those things where you just got to, you know, it's not going to stop. It's called life. Yeah. So there's never going to be until you're not here anymore, there's never going to be a time where you're like, done, I'm done. And I have nothing that's going to come up. Like, and if you have that, then it's probably a really bad situation because you've lost your job or something has happened. Right.
Right.
So it's one of those things. So I have to sometimes just put it in my head. Like the work is going to be there. It's going to be there. As long as people are answered and stuff like that, then the rest can wait. The rest sometimes has to wait and just take time for yourself when you can, because there's going to be days when you can't.
Exactly. I know. I've been trying to pick, you know, like Sundays, I try to not have meetings or anything just because I don't want to have to prepare. I just want the day for to just to be open because I don't know. I think there's kind of a thing like when Sunday rolls around, like at a certain point of the day, you're like, well, the weekend's over, you know, meanwhile, you have like the rest of the night, but you just get that mindset. And that's not just for educators. That's for anybody that works a Monday through Friday job. I mean, that's just the way life is. But I've been trying to kind of on some days, you know, load up a couple of things. So then on Wednesdays, you know, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes it's unavoidable. You know, I know next week's schedule is just, it's a huge mess. I don't even want to look at it yet. And I try not to look too far ahead. Because that can cause, I mean, I know like, oh, I have these things coming up. But if I break it down and look at the week, 2 weeks from now, it stresses me out because I start to feel that like overwhelm. And so, you know, what do you recommend for anybody who's like, you know what, because I know there are times where I have a ton of things to do and I just get to the point where I'm like, I feel like I'm up against the wall and I can't do it. I just shut down. And I can't even go and take a nap. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. The worst of it all.
Yeah. So advice.
Again, you know, not everything's going to work for everyone. But one of the things I started doing was really giving myself grace. Just like I give other people grace, right? Like you can email me and go, hey, I can't do it today. I can do it, you know, another day. And I'm like, sure, baby, right? But then for myself, I'm like, well, you better get this done because it's on your planner. Like, I will, you know, hurt you if you don't get this done. And I'm like, why? So I think giving yourself grace, but if you're a type A personality, like you said, where you can't like even sleep because it's still on your mind, that's when you have to start prioritizing. You have to start looking at those 25 things you have to do today, plus the 30 emails you need to get to, and going, what's my focus? So one of the things I do, especially when I have a lot of emails and a lot of things on my plan, like I have right now, because I took time off. Imagine that, taking time off during your time off. I took time off during my time off. And what I have to do is I have to look at everything, and it starts getting really overwhelming when you start looking at everything. But then I go, Okay, what's my I really need to do this because it's going to stop me from doing something else. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Balance your checkbook so you can know how much you have to spend when you go out on Tuesday. Go ahead and answer those three people about the three jobs because that's going to stop the progress of those jobs, right? So I start looking, okay, what's going to stop my progress in the future? Answering that email about the cookie cake is not going to stop my pro. I can answer that tomorrow or Friday or this weekend. But answering the question about, something that is going to be stopped if I don't answer that email. Okay, well, then go ahead and answer that one. So prioritizing in that way to really look at what is truly important, not what's important, because we know everything is important, right? Especially if that's what you have in your mind, which is not true, but that's what we have in our mind. Everything is important. So looking at it and going, what's important right this hour, not even today. Not even today, because today is too big. It's too big to handle. So what is important for this hour? What do I need to accomplish this hour? And you know what? Sometimes you look at it and you look at the 300 emails and you look at the five things on your plan and you go, nothing. Like there's nothing that important for me to do this hour. Well, you know what? Go watch some TV. You can get to it next hour, right? And I'm one of those people, one of my sayings was, why put off for tomorrow what you can do today? And I still believe in that. But when you take it hour by hour, you're like, oh, you know what? If I get up next hour and do this, and then I still have time to finish that, and those are the most important things for today, I'm gonna go watch an episode of The Office. That's what I'm gonna go see. I'm gonna go see what Dwight and Jim is doing and see what's going on. And it starts like giving your, and you start realizing that you're giving yourself grace just like you give to other people. And one other thing that I stopped doing, which was a big thing with me. This was one of my like mottos last year is I'm not gonna fight you to help you. So what I found myself doing is, Amy will send me an email and say, hey, I need help, da-da-da. And I will send her some questions and then she won't respond. And then I will send her another email. I'm like, why am I fighting you to help you? I'm not doing that anymore. So if I send you an email and you don't respond, great. One less thing on my plate. Like I'm done. Like so just giving yourself grace in those different ways can help tremendously, only taking small bites. What do I need to do in this 30 minutes or this hour?
And I love how you just said that. That is priceless. That and the reference to The Office, because ironically enough, yesterday I was trying to get a warmer hoodie to put on and I forgot that I had the Dunder Mifflin one. And I was like, Dr. Desiree has one of these too.
It's in the washer right now because I wear it literally
Oh my
everywhere.
gosh. I'm like, how could I forget that I had this? But I mean, you make so many good points. And it's like, and nothing is really, I mean, there are things that are important, of course, but like there are, we
100%.
have a tendency, and I know I do this, and I know you do this, and a lot of people do this. Like everything is important, everything matters right now. But like, I did not make this up. I read it somewhere, and it's like, okay. And I've said it to my students, is it going to matter in 5 minutes, in 5 hours, in five, like you just go, you pick whatever the time frame is. And like, you look at it in long term, you're like, no, but then sometimes I will look at, oh, I don't need this for 3 weeks, like a blog. I don't need this blog for 3 weeks, but I have my dissertation chapter due this Friday. But I could get that thing done because I could write a blog faster than I can write a dissertation. So that's gonna like knock that one right out of the way. And then you feel that like, oh, I got this done. The other day, it took me an hour and a half to clean out a cabinet. But I tell you what, it's been on the list for like 2 years. And what a sense of achievement from that like one shelf. When I say one cabinet, it was like one shelf of like all kind of greeting cards and everything. But sometimes I think, at least for me, and maybe for other people too that are listening, you might find some task that is not on your list or something that like it's been there and you've noticed it and you're like, okay, I can't focus on this other thing right now, so I'm gonna go and do that thing. Whether it's cleaning, that's not my favorite thing. I mean, if you can't get outside because it was snowing on Saturday here, so I'm like, not going for a walk right now. So I did a little cleaning, and then I got some focus, put some music on, whatever. Take a nap if I can, doesn't matter. But find pocket. I call them like pockets in my day. Even a 5 minute walk around the school. Get up and move. I mean, you can sit. The other day I sat for like 3 hours because I was typing, I was working on the doctor, and I'm like, I haven't moved in 3 hours. Like,
You
do
will
I
get
still
away
have
from me. This
legs?
time will get away from you.
I shut the computer and I went and cleaned the cabinet. So everybody's gonna have a different tip and a hack, but I think the biggest takeaway I have is like, it has to be something that works for you. So you shared some things you do, you know, take the day off with some Cheetos. I take a nap, I go for a walk, clean the cabinet, but making a part of your day just about you and nothing else. And it's hard to turn off the notification. I mean, you could turn off notifications, but I'm still looking at my phone. I could put on the away message, but I'm still answering the messages. But I think even just setting that helps us to set a little bit of boundaries sometimes too, where it's like, I'm kind of here. I might answer you, but no, I'm good.
In the email thing. Stop overscheduling yourself. Like, that's your fault. That is no one else's fault but yours. Is overscheduling yourself. So that's one of the things I started doing too. When I look at my planner, I'll go, you know what? This day is done. Like, it's done. Do not schedule anything. And somebody comes and goes, well, I really need Monday. Monday is done. Monday. But you know what I did? I looked at it and I said, well, where's my frustration level going to come in? So if I know that I schedule one more thing today, it's going to be one of those days. Well, it's one of those days because I'm not saying no. And it's one of those days because I'm not putting people on different schedules and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that Schitt's Creek says, one of my favorite quotes is that, you know, you're worried about you more than other people are worried about you. And it's just the truth. So you feel like, oh, I can't tell her that I need to switch the date because... Yes, you can. And she's going to be just fine. Like, you're thinking about yourself much more than they're thinking about you. And even when I answer people's emails really quickly, they're like, oh my God, I didn't even expect you to answer. Because you're thinking about you more than they're thinking. So you have to stop. Stop overscheduling yourself. Then you can say, oh, I only have three things on my plan. I'm going to make sure that I get through those three things today so I don't get behind. But if you put in 25 things, like you're some kind of Terminator robot from the future, then yeah, you're not going to, like, what do you think is going to happen?
I cannot say that any better. You pulled in another show that I also love, the Terminator. Like, I think about AI and I always talk about the Terminator and things, but you're right. Like, you, so many good points. Things can wait. They can. Yeah. Like, it's not, I mean, we're not in, you know, high ranking office. We might be high ranking offices, but we're not making, like, you know, global decisions. And so, but sometimes it's hard to not feel like that, right? You know, you feel like, oh, you need the answer right now. And you want to answer because you think, okay, I'll answer. It'll be moved on. But you know, the more, there's going to be more emails and there's always going to be more work. And so I think you just got to get your cadence and your workflow, the power of saying no, which that's for another episode because it's hard to say no. But I will say, and this is the last thing I'll say because we're going to wrap it up. But the one thing that I have done, at least for the last few years, is people will send me messages all the time about, like, could you do this? Could you do that? And I'll say, look, I'm really busy. I'm at a conference. I'm doing this. And not that you even really have to necessarily explain to people, but I just like to say, like, I'm not just ignoring you. Like, I'm actually away.
Exactly. It's I'll a say, nice thing to do, right? That's, that's how you would want to be treated.
Exactly. And I'll say, could you follow up with me in 2 weeks? Or could you send me an email on this date or something? And they will. I mean, if it matters to them, they will do it. But you have to, like, you know, self-care and your wellness is first. Cause if you're not feeling good yourself, you're not gonna be any good for others. And we know that, even though it's hard to do sometimes, but anyway,
easy, everybody would do it. I say that all the time. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah. So. But everybody's always looking for ideas for balance and self-care. And I don't think there's really any sense of balance cause you're always, you know, back and forth, but we can try, right? The best we can do is try.
Try, and when you can't try anymore, go sit down. Go sit down, turn on the TV or massage your feet or whatever makes you happy. And it's almost like thinking beyond yourself.
Yes.
Last story for me, because I know we need to wrap it up, is I went to this author thing, and she's a very popular author, so I'm not going to say who it is, but I went to this author thing with a lot of really popular authors. I don't even know how I was blessed to be there, but I remember we were sitting at lunch, we were kind of talking. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm so busy. And, you know, they have to answer people right away and kind of the same stuff we're talking about. And she's kind of like, you know, why? And I was like, what do you mean why? Because I need to answer people. And she kind of, I forgot the exact wording she said, but she was kind of like, do you think you're that important? And I was like, don't make me punch you, woman. I was about to say her name. Popular author. And I really got mad. Like, I think I was in my 20s or 30s. I got really, really upset. I'm like, I cannot believe you. But it stuck with me. It stuck with me to like, are we making ourselves a little self-important when we're like, we can't, I can't stop. I can't, I mean, I have to really, I think you'll be just fine. And
Oh,
I think the world will be just fine if you stop.
yeah.
So sometimes you gotta get out of your own hubris.
Oh, I like that. You are dropping some good words of wisdom today, and the humor, and that's what I love. That's why I love being connected with you. I love having you as a friend, and agree with you, like you said at the beginning, getting to see each other in a hug, even if it's just a hug
Yes.
and a quick picture, like selfie, you know,
Yes.
wherever.
If
Like
we
at least
remember, if we
I
remember.
know, but we remember we're in the same space. But it's just your positivity and you're real, you know, like
Thank
you
you.
there. I always say I'm off the cuff. Like you're just gonna, what you see is what you get, and that's how you
Yep.
are. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it for you. I'll try and help you, but start of the new year. I wanted to start it with you and some
Yay.
ideas and some fun and laughs. And so thank you for your time,
Thank
and
you.
can't wait to see you in person. I know I'll see you soon.
Yes.
Very, very soon. So we'll be
Yes.
busy until then. But thank you for
And thank
joining
you
me
for being
today.
part of the Educator Alexander webinar family.
Oh yeah, that was what I was gonna say. I'm gonna drop all the
Yes.
links to everything that you have. And if anybody's listening that has not heard of the amazing webinars put on by Dr. Desiree, you need to, because they are amazing. There's always different presenters. Her intro is phenomenal. Like you do not want to miss that. If you miss it, just go back and catch the recording. But
Yes,
check them
all
out.
on my YouTube channel.
PD in your PJs or wherever you are, it doesn't matter. It's a great space to connect. So thank you again. And we'll see you soon. And for everybody who's listening, thank you for listening and keep on listening. So we'll catch you the next time.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.